Welcome to the Pool Nation Podcast, where it's all pool talk. And we ain't talking about netting and jetting or splashing and dashing. We're talking about becoming a nation of pool pros. We talk about the latest products, trends, and training in the pool industry. Now let's welcome your host, with over a decade of industry insider experience and still the reigning champion of Marco Polo, Edgar De Jesus, and his co-host, John J.J. Flawless, the fastest netter in the West, and Zach the Pool Boy Nicholas.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pool Nation Live podcast. I am your host, Edgar De Jesus, and yes, I am the reigning champion of Marco Polo, along with John J.J. Flawless, the fastest netter in the West, and the famous Zach, the pool boy Nicholas. Today, we're taking business questions and doing a deep dive into customer analysis. I want to welcome everyone to our live podcast, the podcast where it's all pool talk. And we ain't talking about netting and jetting or splashing and dashing. We're talking about becoming a nation of pool pros. And yes, we will talk about the latest products, trends, and training in the pool industry. But before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors for this podcast, the Ultimate Pool Tools, the SPPA, Blu-ray XL, Aquastar Pool Products, Natural Chemistry, Raypak, and Heritage Pool Supply. We want to thank them for their continued support. Mr. Zacharias, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been an interesting week as we gear up for the boot camp. And I got to put a little disclaimer out there that I'm currently out of my normal space and in the conference room right now because we're having to move around here. So if there's any background noise or anything, I apologize for that. But I think we'll be able to get through it.
Mr. J.J. Flawless, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm multitasking. I'm texting a customer. I was hoping Zach was going to go a little bit longer. That was a really short good morning, brother.
You want to hear my HD nightmares?
Like, yeah.
I can go on for hours.
I'm like, okay, this actually flows with what we're going to talk about today on the podcast about types of personalities and types of clients. I am one of those people that if I am text messaging, I cannot do more than one thing at once, right? Everything in the world shuts down. And it drives Janie absolutely nuts, and family or anybody knows when I'm sitting here boop, 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 boop on my phone and I'm doing my thing, it's just very hard to, I don't know what type of issue that is. I get tunnel vision, so I can't even finish my text now. So I'm going to put it back to Zach and I'm going to say, hey, Zach, continue on with your morning. Good morning, please. And then I will jump on afterwards. So give me about 15 more seconds so I can finish off this text to this client, if you don't mind. How's your day going? I saw a bunch of legs walking behind you.
Oh, yeah. It gets busy in here some days. I was actually listening to something that said there's no such thing as multitasking. So it's all just juggling different things. I'm right there with you, though. If I'm at a self-checkout and I'm talking on the phone, it's game over, dude. Like, I'll be there for 20 minutes trying to scan my items and figure out what's going on. I've probably accidentally stolen things because I, you know, throw it in the bag
scan,
or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the worst too. Same thing when I'm on the phone as well. And when I'm having a conversation or talking, and I think to Janie, she looks around and like laughs and she tries to like take me into, it doesn't matter where we're at. We could be in a church. We could be at a movie theater. We can be anywhere. And I'm talking, I have a pretty loud voice, but when I'm on the phone, she's like, you're yelling again, babe. So you're yelling at me. So she'll take me and grab me, move me away in the corner. And I'm oblivious to this all because I'm just on the phone and I'm going, there's people around and I'm sitting there just talking about weird shit. And if people are, huh? And if anybody's listening to this conversation and we're talking anywhere from like chlorine, bathers, load, electrical, or hyperhufinator valves and flex capacitors, it can be whatever. And I can just look at Janie with her little doe eyes and she's looking up at me and just like, dude, you're yelling. You're yelling. I get hyper-focused like that as well. And I have the ability to shut out my environment and then focus on what I'm trying to do. It's like that gift that we talked about years ago. Remember when we first started the podcast and I said I've been blessed with selective hearing? And I guess it's my coping mechanism, or my kids or my wife, or if somebody says something that whatever, I can pick and choose what I want to hear or not and make people think that I'm listening to them, but I'm not. And it just helps me cope with some things sometimes, I guess. And that's another ability or flaw. I don't know which one it is, but it is me. And so that's what I do. How about you, Edgar?
I'm the same way, but the problem is with me, it's my kids. They start going, oh my God, mom, this is so embarrassing. He's so loud. But if you go back to Puerto Rico, you could see why. Like, we start having the conversation.
Yeah, because you didn't have phones, right? You had to get on your rooftops and scream off down the neighborhood, right? Over the river to talk to your friend and say, oh.
No, we were a little bit more sophisticated than that. From the side of town that we were at, we used to have a whole cage of pigeons. And then that would go over to the guy in the donkey. And then the donkey would carry it over into town. You know, my messages were delayed, but I got them. Think about how sophisticated we were that we had that, that we didn't have to stand on the roofs and yell from one side to the other. It was,
you would get seashells and you
we would create our own ringtones back then. If you would have grown up with me, John, yours probably would have been like, and Zach's might have been kooky, like some weird noise like that. Then we would know who's messaging at each other and calling, right?
Bro, what era was this?
This was the year you were born, baby.
1701.
Good morning, everybody out there. Good morning to everybody. So that's the way it works back where I was from. It's really loud. My kids are the ones that get embarrassed and they won't say anything to me, but they'll tell Leanne. They're like, mom, it's so embarrassing. Dad's being so loud. So you guys ready for the boot camp?
Yes.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Because it's next week.
I know. It's just days away. I don't know what to expect because it's our first one and we're doing things a little bit different. Obviously, I've been to a lot of trainings before and, you know, I don't like surprises and this is going to be a surprise because we don't know what to expect. You know what? I'm relaxing and just really looking forward to seeing everybody, right? That's what I really enjoy doing. Might not seem like it because I'm not like the happy-go-lucky kind of guy, hugs and high fives and whatever, but I look forward to seeing all my friends and people that took the time to come out there and listen to us and to further educate themselves and just talk shop. And that I look forward to. Everything else will go well. We have an all-star lineup of great educators that are going to be teaching, having the best of the best and them taking it to the next level as far as like custom classroom type stuff that was purely created for our boot camps and trying to fulfill that vision and that dream that we have. And I feel nothing but excited for that portion. I know that everybody's going to knock it out the park because we've seen some of the material and all the merchandise. Zach, we hear Zach every single day about where am I going to store all this stuff that's being delivered for the boot camp. So we know it's going to be pretty cool. We've seen some of the pictures. We saw that the learning lab with the material that Hayward put up, especially for the boot camp. It's cool. I'm just excited. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Zach, you ready?
I'm a little worried about the living situation, though, I'll be honest. I still haven't booked a hotel.
I got us rooms at the Candlewood Suites. I booked us rooms, so that's where we're staying.
Perfect.
John's all like, I don't think so.
What's frustrating is, well, not frustrating, but what's funny is I booked a place, and it was by the airport, and it seemed like it was great. I don't know. And Zach was like, oh, no. You will not make it to the boot camp if you stay the night there. I'm like, dude, really that bad, man? I grew up in L.A. Not nice L.A., right? Panorama City, some of the hardcore areas of Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley. And there's not much that really freaks me out. But the way you laid it out was like, okay, I'm not going to stay there. He's like, yeah, you need to stay at League City, you know, over by where we're at. That's much better. And then the first place I go to book, we're going to go do in the city, he says, we need to go. That's nicer. We get a message from him and says, you cannot stay there. So, do not stay at this place. And I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? Where am I supposed to go?
I think he doesn't want us to come, John.
I know, it's just like, well, dude, tell Leslie that you guys are going to bunk us up somewhere in the garage or something, because apparently nowhere safe in League City or anywhere in that area of Houston.
Nah, you're good in League City. It caught me off guard.
Anywhere in League City is good, except for the hotel that we booked.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine. Just use a buddy system.
I remember now it all makes sense, right? About the catalytic converters and all that kind of stuff that kind of went down. So I get it. Your area is a little bit more on the thug side, but it's okay. I can cope with that. I'm just waiting for me to go down there and just laugh because of what your perception of crazy is and what reality is, at least to me when I see it. I'm sure we're going to be off a little bit.
Yeah, we probably have different perspectives on it. I mean, League City is actually like a really nice area. Being next to the coast, any coastal town, things look older and worn out and a few hurricanes. If you look at the power lines here, it's kind of a trip. Everything's like leaning. I think you'll survive.
Looking forward to it.
I'm sitting over here laughing because two things. One, John, I have a feeling that Zach thinks that we're like these hotel snobs or something like that. So that's one. And then two, over here, you have Leslie kind of sitting there going, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but we know you have a housekeeping OCD. So if you go to where the Candlewood, you're going to be like on high alert for all the little housekeeping issues and be texting about this trash is unacceptable and they didn't flip the room right.
I'm walking in at night and taking notes that the parking lot's dirty and the trash cans are full and the sea is out on the Candlewood.
Yeah.
So First Response is asking here, and I'm putting it up on the screen, how South Shore Resort, should I be strapped, LOL?
I've never stayed at South Shore Resort, but it looks really nice. I think it's like a conference center and there's a marina there and they have restaurants in there and stuff. So
is that the one that you told us to stay at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't listen. That's the problem.
So we'll have to look at it.
That was after I said, okay, look, time out, Zach. I go, let me know what is the best hotel in your area. And money is not an option. I don't care, right?
That's where I bump into the problem because John's like, money's not a problem. And I'm like, not for you, but for Zach's me, like, yeah.
No, I mean, Edgar's like, no, we got to figure this out.
I'm like, shoot, I'm going to have to go from my hotel to go pick them up to then do the triangle to go to the...
So that was the hotel that Zach recommended, the SSR. So I think, Michael, you're going to be good.
I stayed at the Hampton Inn last time I was there. It's just a typical Hampton Inn. They're nice hotels, but it's not what John likes to stay at. John likes to stay at really nice hotels. He's bougie. Like me, I won't stay at a Motel 6 or a Super 8, but I could do a Hampton Inn. I'll do a Hampton Inn over a Hilton Garden Inn any day. I'm a Hilton guy, but John stayed at the Candlewood Suites before. John, and you were like, oh, they have the suites. They have the extra space. And that's all I like. I like the room to be a little bit bigger. And he said, they even have a little stove. And I'm like, perfect. I can bring my little espresso maker and I'm in heaven. And then you sit there and send us a message going, don't even think of staying there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I really can care less, especially when I'm traveling for business. Who cares? I just need a place to rest. But I got mama with me too. And I want her to feel comfortable wherever she's at. We don't want to stay in a shithole either. It doesn't need to be a 5-star resort by any means.
As long as it's a 4-star, we're good.
Yeah, we don't exactly. Need it. Four, we're working on their 5. Working on 5, right? Exactly. They need to be featured in at least 4 magazines this last year.
Yeah, that's the criteria. Let's see here. Gosh, we're getting bombarded with a couple notes. You didn't even stay there. It was fine. That was Leslie to Zach.
Dude, it looks like freaking animals have been chewing on the trim all the way down the hallway.
Ah, Leslie, we love you. But they do have little kitchens, which is big. So I don't like just a standard room. I always like the room to be a little bit bigger. And as long as that's it, I'm good. But anyways, First Response is saying, I'm just kidding. South Shore looks really nice. I think John's right about the perspective. It's crazy out here in California. And that's true. When you come from that and you come over right over here, it's a totally different perspective. And then he is saying that John needs 1 Michelin star restaurant. And let me tell you this. Last time John came out here, we haven't talked about this. John's like, Edgar, I want to do our thing. I want to go where the steak is the size of my face. I want a good steak. And so I just go, okay, let's go to our for sure steakhouse, right? It's a good steakhouse. We'll go to Perry's. And he's like, no, I don't want to go to that one. I found this one here. And he sends it over to us. And we go over to the steakhouse, Zach. And it's like the chef is a 1-star Michelin rated thing. And John goes into the, it's a red book and it's 263 pages. And in order to be able to get into it, you don't know that they're looking at you to rate you. And they look at all the different things. They look at your business. They look at the food. They look at the years of this. They look at your customer policies. They look at all these kind of things in order for you to be able to be this qualified. Zach, he goes on this rant for probably about an hour and a half while we were eating dinner. about. John's like, you bastard. Listen, I learned everything about Michelin star rated chefs that night and restaurants and all that kind of stuff. So I was so impressed with what John was saying. I went back to meet the chef and shook his hand and said, it's nice to meet you. I didn't know about this rating thing. I hear you're a celebrity.
But it was a great restaurant,
no,
right?
No. All joke aside, and by the way, I'm just teasing, but all jokes aside, the food was phenomenal. The dining experience was at a whole different level. It was just absolutely top notch. And the food was absolutely to die for. There was not one thing that night that wasn't spectacular. It was really good. So, hey, our boy Adam out there, looking forward to seeing everyone in Vegas. Adam, we're looking forward to seeing you out there as well. And then get out there and connect. Big shout out to you. The other thing over here, Corey is saying San Luis Resort out there. I'm assuming that's over in your area, Zach?
Yeah, it's south, probably like 20, 25 minutes on Galveston Island. It's nice too.
So Corey is saying, good call, John. Perry is overrated. Let me know where to eat Saturday night. Do you think Perry is overrated?
I mean, it's good, but it's not like a real steakhouse. It's more
chain style.
Yeah, fast food style.
It's not as exclusive and...
Yeah. Perry's is good though. It's great.
I thought Perry's was good, yeah.
Compared to other really good steakhouses, it pales in comparison to some really nice steakhouses. But for maybe a Monday night or Tuesday night meal, Perry's will do. Brunch, maybe. Second dinner, maybe.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, by the way, everybody listening, this is a pool podcast. This is not a podcast.
Though we've gone off the rails the last couple weeks when it comes down to food, which is interesting.
Yeah. Let's do this, guys. Let's jump in here and get through some housekeeping notes so we can get into this podcast right away. And that is that we have the Pool Nation Boot Camp that is coming up on the 18th and 19th. That is actually next week. And we are super excited about it. Today's Friday. I take off on Tuesday night. I will not be staying at Zach's house. He said I can't stay there, so I'll have to find a Motel 6 down there. So hopefully they'll leave the light on for me somewhere until John comes into town and makes me go stay at a different hotel. But we are doing the boot camp. We're super excited about it. It's going to be the 18th and 19th Friday. We have classes for water chemistry, everything that you know about borates with Mr. JJ Flawless, managing salt pools, and that's going to be with David Jones from Hayward. We have understanding ozone with Steve Barnes from Aquastar Pool Products. We have water chemistry 201 with Terry Arco. And then on Saturday, we are going to be doing the first series of hands-on training with Aquastar that's going to be doing variable speed pumps. They're going to be doing programming, connecting to high voltage, low voltage. We're also going to be replacing the pump seals on those pumps. I'm going to talk about the setup here in just a minute. And then Hayward is going to be doing automation installation and programming. And I do have to say that both of these companies are going completely out. I don't know if you guys have been watching social media, but if you haven't, go check out Steve Barnes' page. And you can see they have completely customized these carts. They shared the pictures and it's like a two-level cart where on the bottom you'll be able to have a part to be able to change the pump seals and all that kind of stuff. And then the higher platform where you'll be able to program and wire and do all these kind of things. And these are carts that have been custom made for the Pool Nation Boot Camp. And I cannot wait to get out there and see these classes and be part of them. And then I do have to say Hayward has done the exact same thing and they are going all out, both of them. The amount of stuff that Zach has received down there for the automation is just absolutely mind-boggling. Just even the signage that these guys have put up, it's legit. It's going to be epic. It's going to be a great time. So that's going to be next Friday and Saturday. Super excited about it. And I do want to give a big shout out to the sponsors for this event. And we talk about it all the time that we can't do this without the sponsors. There's no way we can financially afford to do these things. And without them, we couldn't do it. So I do want to give a big shout out to Chris from Blu-ray. He's definitely always had our backs. So big shout out to him. Danielle from the SPPA. Hasa, another big, huge sponsor stepping in. Aquastar Pool Products, Hayward. And then we also want to thank SCP down there. They reached out to Zach and said, hey, we'd love to pick up lunch and breakfast and do all that. So big, huge shout out to them as well. Everybody stay tuned because we'll post a lot of the stuff on social media. The other thing that we have coming up is the Women's Summit, which is going to be the 24th and the 25th. And I was just down there day before yesterday, taking a look at the space, running through some final details. We're at 102 women, and it's going to be a full event. We're going to do some networking. We have a keynote speaker. We're going to do communications, public speaking. And we are super, super excited about that. There'll be a networking event on the night of the 24th. And then the 25th, we will start at 8 a.m. and go all the way till about 5:30. And then on Saturday, the boys have been kicked out of the podcast room. So here's what's going to happen is we have a podcast that's actually going to happen on Saturday instead of Friday. And what we were going to do is we were going to have some of the women from the event that are going to be going over to do our weekly podcast. And we're going to do it in a studio in Dallas with our boy Spider. And Leanne, Janie, and Leslie stepped in and said, boys, get the hell out of Dodge. This is going to be a girls podcast. So they are taking over the podcast. They're going to be running the podcast. I am super excited about that. Janie, just to let you know, I have a blanket and Zach asked me for a blanket. So we're going to sit on the sofa. We're going to pull our blankets over there to show you our support. We are going to get out there and get it. And by the way, just to let you know, I did not call either one of you directly to say, hey, John, do you think Janie or Zach, do you think Leslie? Because typically, I don't know if they'll do it, blah, 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 blah. I called Janie. She's like, I got it. I'm in. I called Leslie and she's like, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like, done. I just bypassed the boys and their drama.
Yeah, but you didn't see what happened prior to the phone call because I'm with Janie. She looks at the phone. She's like, Edgar's calling. Did I answer?
Can I answer? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Can I answer?
Yes.
No, she did not say that.
Ask her.
Janie, is that what you said? Janie, send me a message on here. Did you ask permission to answer the phone? I think I'll be insulted if you did that, Janie. Oh, anyways,
she's leaving you hanging on that one. I guess the world will never know.
She's not answering, which means that it's true. I just want you to know, Janie, that I'll put the script together. So I'll remember that in the script. So super, super excited about that. My messages over here are going a little bit crazy. Look at that. Leslie is like, yeah, get it. She's ready to go. And then we have First Response over here saying that I can't wait to hear them tell all your guys' secrets. Do you have secrets, John? I'm an open book.
I'm a pretty open book, man.
Yeah. Zach, you got any secrets that we need to know about? You might as well say them now.
Leslie already shared all my secrets.
Oh, there you go.
In the past episodes.
So we're good. All right. Anyways, everybody, let's do this.
Dude, so I'm telling you right now, we're going to probably have to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right now.
This is going to be part one of part two.
Yes,
because there's absolutely no way we can deep dive into something this like intricate and important in 20 minutes because we've managed to BS and have fun. But it's been pretty fun, actually, for the last 30 minutes. But again, in true form and fashion, we are staying true to who we are.
Do you see that?
I want you to look at the screen.
Yeah.
For those that are listening to the podcast later on Monday, you guys can see. So we're on YouTube and Facebook. And so we could post the comments that people make on our screen. So Zach is saying, oh, Leslie shared all my stuff. And then she's going, no, I didn't.
And then Janie's going, I won't spill the tea.
I won't spill. No tea from me.
No tea from Janie. Yeah, she's a good girl.
I still want to know if it's true that you asked for permission to answer my phone call. And I'm going to keep asking that until you answer. So I better get a yes or no on here. So guys, let's do this. Guys and girls, let's do this.
Oh, she said she did answer.
I know that she answered. My question was...
No, she answered on the message she said.
Let's see. Let me go back. So for everybody listening, I'm going back through on here. So I know I got way cool.
Yep, and she said 100%.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell me a yes or a no. I can't tell what 100% is. I want you to type in there, yes, Janie, so that I know. And then the other thing that I want to know, Janie, if you need help type yes on the chat. Janie, type yes on the chat. Everybody listening, we are waiting for Janie's response to see if she needs help. So type on there if you need help and we will come to your rescue.
That's hilarious, dude. That is perfect.
Yeah, she's off screen, but post ha-ha, if that's do a lot, there it is. There's all the ha-ha's right there. I knew it. Look, everybody's showing up here. So to everybody listening, next time that we see Janie in public with John at an event, I want everybody to go to Janie and pull her to the side and find out if she needs help. Okay, so let's make sure that we do that next event.
It's a safe place.
This is a safe place. This is a safe place. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we will continue. But let's not do that yet because I am sitting over here going through, making sure that I got everybody's messages on here before we go to take our break. So let's do this. We're going to take a word from our sponsors. If I could remember, because now I can't remember, guys, how to go in and take our word from our sponsors. Look, we're on our new platform and I forgot how to do it.
He's breaking down.
I'm having too much fun.
This has been fun.
I'm having too much fun. All right, let's take a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we will continue.
The Hyper Pole from Ultimate Pool Tools is a pool care pole designed by pool professionals for pool professionals, featuring precision crafted carbon fiber and stainless steel construction. Go to ultimatepooltools.com or Instagram at Ultimate Pool Tools. Pool pros have specific needs when it comes to general liability insurance. The SPPA program has you covered. With three tailored and customizable general liability options, SPPA makes it easy for pool pros to feel secure. Find out more and get covered at thesppa.com. Now available, Pool Invoice. Pool Invoice is a pool billing software created specifically for the pool service and repair industry. It's developed for our industry and only our industry. Pool Invoice is built with recurring billing in mind. You can print, email, text invoices, or even send via WhatsApp. You can add recurring or yearly charges, accept credits, and set up auto pay. You can even see when customers have seen the invoice. It even has a customer portal where they can log in and see, print, and pay invoices. It has all your customers' information on one page, so you don't need to search through hundreds of invoices looking for the one you need. Just go to the customer profile and it's all at your fingertips. Created specifically for the pool industry, Pool Invoice. Now available at poolinvoice.com. Blu-ray XL is the power of minerals working for you. Reduce your overall chemical costs and labor up to 50% guaranteed. Whether you have 20 accounts or 20,000, Blu-ray XL's direct pricing and free shipping to the pool trade have you covered. Improving pool professionals' profit and work-life balance is what they do. Blu-ray XL, the real mineral purifier. Visit them at BluRayXL.com.
Blu-ray all day.
AquaStar's new pipeline cartridge filters, available in two sizes, deliver top-notch hydraulic efficiency along with best-in-class filtration performance, approaching that of DE filters. Uniquely designed, open pleat spacing means 100% of the media square footage is usable. And these claims are backed by NSF test results. Designed with the pro's time and comfort in mind, the patented double-locking system improves safety and ease of access, making filter cleaners faster than ever before. Available now. Ask your supplier for pipeline filters today.
Natural Chemistry, a leader in specialty water care solutions for over 30 years, is proud to provide products that make pool service easier than ever before. Its unique enzyme formulations in Pro Series Pro Blend improve efficiency of your pool program while reducing frequency of filter cleaning and scum lines. Natural Chemistry is also well known for its wide variety of phosphate removal solutions that include a non-clouding formula in phosphate and extremely high-range removal with Pro Series Foss Remove or Foss Free Max. Save time, save money, save work with Pro Series products.
Stop sacrificing durability or efficiency with the help of Raypak's new Avia HD models that utilize Nitec, their exclusive industry-first technology. Nitec heat exchanger technology is Raypak's latest solution to superior strength and maximum efficiency when it comes to residential pool heating. With 900% more nickel compared to Cooper nickel in critical surfaces, Nitec creates an ideal surface to protect against scale formation and erosion without compromising on Avia's 84% thermal efficiency. Learn more at raypak.com/Nitec.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pool Nation Live podcast. We are talking to Mr. JJ. We're talking to Zacharias. Big shout out to Pool Envy that jumped on. That yes, the heat is on. I am having issues with my air conditioner today, Zach. I think you're a little bit of bad luck. I turned my AC on last night and it literally ran all night. And it only came down about 4 degrees. It never hit 72, which my air conditioner normally kicks on. So I've already been.
Dude, I think we've all had AC issues. We all had AC issues. Remember mine first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was quite the ordeal for me. And it went out, the whole half side of the house went out, and it was like 120 degrees that day. And it was bad. And it was the weekend. Couldn't get anybody to come out. So I ended up finding a fan, a condenser fan, I ended up replacing it, needed a capacitor, and it frustrates me. And this is a little off topic, but I'm going to bring it back to on topic. It was amazing to see. And this is where I like to envision the pool industry to be one day. Not that you can go anywhere and get it, but the HVAC has the industry on lockdown, man, where something simple as like a capacitor, you think you can order it or you can walk into Home Depot or Lowe's, but no, you cannot get that for an AC unit anywhere. And it's designed that way because as a service professional, when you need help with something or you need to get something fixed, you need to call up a company in order to come out and do it. It's not a DIY or whatever it's called. So I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And I'd like it to be to the point where you can't even buy PVC pipe at Home Depot or Lowe's one day, or you can't even get any Christie's glue or nothing. So everything that has to get done has to be done through us. That would be pretty awesome. But long story short, while we were walking, while we were in Home Depot, and I needed to get a capacitor for one of the units, and I saw an AC guy with an AC shirt was walking inside Home Depot, and I took note of it. And as we were walking out, because I thought that I can find a capacitor there because they have them, you could order them, but you have to get them shipped to you or whatever. And I was walking through the parking lot. I'm like pissed that they didn't have one. All the distribution was closed. Couldn't go to Ferguson's, couldn't go, which is like a HVAC plumbing distribution center, to get what I needed. And I would have been perfectly fine if the AC company could have came out and done it, but they just didn't have anybody available to do it. So I was like, okay, I need to fix this. I need to figure it out. And we walked by and we saw that AC truck, HVAC truck or van. And it was the same shirt. I thought it was maybe a guy off or whatever. You know what I mean? I didn't want to bother him. But then I saw his work truck there. So we walked back in and I knew exactly where he was. I found him. He was checking out and I walked outside and like a creep, I'm sitting there and Janie right by my side. And I'm like, I'm waiting here at the door, like blocking the door. And as this cat comes out, I'm going to hit him up. And sure as hell, I hit him up and I said, hey, look, I go, hey, brother, this is going to sound weird, but you're in the HVAC business, right? That's your van out there, right? Yeah.
Freaking stalking him.
Yeah. I go, I need a capacitor. I go, 50 plus 7.5. And he's like, oh, no. Oh, yeah, I think I have one. Da-da-da-da. He's all, if you have one, just let me know, whatever it is. I'll buy it right now. He's okay. And he's like, come over here. And he goes over to the van. He's looking through and he gets it and brings it to me and whatever. And I paid the guy like, I think it was like 80 bucks or he asked for it. And I said, sure, no problem. Here you go, 80 bucks for a $20 capacitor. Happy to pay it. You know, thank you so much. You know, I'm happy to pay it. I get it. I go, dude, you got to make your money, bro. I go, I understand. I have a need. You have a solution for me. And that is capitalism at its finest. So bring it. And then he gave it to me and sure as hell, I took it. And I was like, Janie and I were like driving. We're like, yeah, we scored. We got a motor. We got this all within one day. You know what I mean? And it was impossible to find anywhere. And I went there and replaced the motor or the fan and then put in the new capacitor and voila, air conditioner working.
Now I know what I'm going to do after the podcast. I'm going straight down to Home Depot to the AC section and waiting for somebody and be like, hey, can you come over and...
Hey, so, dude, you got to do what you got to do, right?
I mean, yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, we're going to jump into this podcast. Here's what's going to happen. No, I agree. I was looking at the script, John. There's absolutely no way, which is fine because I think this topic that we're going to talk about, and it was a question that was sent in, we started working on the script, and the more we worked on the script, the more in depth we kept saying, oh, we got to dive a little bit deeper into this point that I want to make here. And so it started that we were just going to cover some of these points 50,000 feet in the air. And then as we get into it, we're like, man, this is a great question. This ties into a lot of your business strategy. And I think a lot of people don't look at this and put it as part of their business strategy. And a lot of it makes complete sense that they're probably things that you do, but that you don't do them consciously, right? You don't focus on them. But as we talk about some of these, you're going to be like, hey, that's a great point. I'm going to start to make this a point of focus.
Edgar, you're 100%. And not only that, but this is a little bit of a touchy subject if you look at it, because if you take a look at it from a different perspective, or kind of how, especially nowadays in this world, a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about on this topic is, truthfully, it's really stereotyping people. And this is what I taught, and this is what we focused on in my previous life, long, long time ago, right? Where maybe it wasn't quite as touchy subject as it might be today, but the truth is, this is the type of stuff that you need to take into consideration, because at the end of the day, we're all human. And for the most part, based off of where we grow up and the lifestyle that we choose and that we live, we make certain decisions based off of that. We're all individuals, and not every one person's the same, but our mentalities based off of the environment that we're in currently or we grew up in helps dictate the type of decisions that we make, or what we're more susceptible to, or what we're more comfortable with, or things that are a turnoff for us. And that shouldn't be something that we should shy away from and not talk about, because the more you understand people, the better you understand the solution for them. And that is where we're getting at with this. And it's not a simple yes or no question. This is really the important stuff that will take you to that level from good to great. Because we all know this. If you have a connection with somebody, or you feel like connected with them, you can talk about more things. You feel more comfortable saying other things, and you're not playing that guarded type game where this person's just trying to sell me and bullshit me, right? And he's just trying to make money, or she's just trying to do this and trying to rip me off, or I don't trust what they're saying and stuff. But if you can break down those walls and understand them for who they are, then you're going to set yourself up for success. And on these questions and stuff, I could probably talk for 10 hours about this and still not get everything out, because it's that important. And if you are capable of mastering this, or at least understanding the importance of it, there's no limit to what your business could do when it comes down to sales, how much money or how many jobs you're able to land or increase your closing rate. Because in retail, that is key, right? Can you close the deal? And more importantly, is not just close the deal, but can you make them feel good about the decision that they made and want to make that purchase, not feel like they're pressured into having to make that purchase. And it's all psychological. We haven't even talked about the question yet, and I'm talking about it.
And you're already fired up.
Yeah, people are like, what the hell is he talking about? What's this question?
I knew you were going to get fired up, because this is the good stuff that we geek out on. And again, John talks about it for retail. The hotel industry does the exact same thing. And even in some of the things that we teach with our financial business class, we do the same thing, right? There's certain things. So let's jump in and let's talk about it. So the question was sent in, and that they were talking to somebody that was, I think, looking to get into the industry. And so that person came to them and asked them, when they started their business, as they got in, if they had done a customer analysis. They really didn't have an answer to that. So they reached out to us and said, hey, got a really good question for you guys. I was asked about customer analysis, stumped me a little bit. So can you guys talk a little bit about what a customer analysis is and how we in the pool industry could use a customer analysis? I think let's start first off by talking about what customer analysis is and how you can use it. And there's a couple things that you could use it in your business for. You'll see that you already do some of this, that you've analyzed some of the data, even though it might not be in depth, and that you already use it for certain parts of your business. But bigger picture, you should really be looking at some key elements, and then in your business strategy, use that data in order to really create that strategy for your day-to-day business. But customer analysis is really used to understand and really anticipate the needs and the motivations of your customers. You're going to grab some of this customer analysis, and the best thing for us to do is just go bullet point by bullet point and share some of them so that people can see what they are, right? But I think if I take a look, John and Zach, and I go back and I look, it's exactly what John was saying, is you start off by segmenting your customer. So John, I'm going to let you talk in a minute about how you did it in retail. In hotels, it's the exact same thing. You sell a room, but you have different types of buyers. And so you will have the leisure traveler, and they fall into one box. And then you have the corporate traveler. They fall into a completely different box. You have government travel. They fall into a different box. You have what we used to call the Priceline shoppers, right? That's in a totally different segment all by itself. But each one of these segments, each one of these people have a buying pattern. And they spend money based on how they fall into those segments. So John talked about it. There's nothing wrong with taking a look at your customers and creating those segments so that you know how you're going to be able to work with those customers. And we'll go through right now and we'll talk about some of those bullet points. Obviously, when you have somebody that is a leisure traveler, you have somebody that's on vacation. And what happens when people go on vacation? They tend to spend more money freely, right? They're on vacation, screw it. We're out to have a great time. Let's just spend the money. So a lot of times their buying patterns are very different than somebody that is traveling for government, which has a locked rate. They can't spend more than X amount of dollars in a hotel room. So their buying patterns are going to be different. How does that affect in a hotel? Very easily. If I have a standard room and I have a suite, and the leisure traveler has booked a standard room, when they show up to the front desk, I can go to that person and I can say, hey, would you like to upgrade to a two-bedroom suite for an extra $40 a night, an extra $50 a night? We saw that those people were more apt to do that because they're on vacation. They want to have a good time. And if it was John, John would be going to the hotel going, hell yeah, right? We want to have a nice room. That same buyer, which is on that government per diem, is locked in. They can't spend more than a certain amount of dollars for them to get reimbursed for business. So when you ask them, hey, do you want to upgrade? What's the answer going to be? Answer is going to be like, no. So as you start to segment your pieces of business, it allows you to start analyzing those customers and those buying patterns. So in the pool industry, for us, it's the exact same thing, right? You will be able to figure out what category those customers fall into, and you'll have those that are completely willing to upgrade everything. And I'll give you a perfect example. I dealt with a lot of construction guys, right? They were in the construction industry. And they would all come to me and they would all say, Edgar, I just want my stuff working, bro. I don't want to show up on a Saturday and call you that my heater's not working. If that heater's not working and you can't fix it, you replace it. Don't call me. I don't want to press the button and not have it working. And I noticed a pattern between all these guys that own construction companies that are constantly remodeling or fixing things or doing all that. They want their stuff working all the time. So you start to look at their buying behavior, and their buying behavior is, look, I want the best and I want it working all the time. But then I had other accounts where it's retired people, levels of income aren't huge. So their buying pattern is going to be very different. Okay. Talking about that really quick, obviously you start to see that, but also if you start to put that into a business strategy perspective, you start to learn, and as a business, start to strategize what type of business you want to go after, you're going to go into that segment. So hope that makes sense. Obviously, I'm talking a little bit about hotels, of how it was in hotels, so that you can see it, and you can see how each business does it. Every successful business does it, right? Even Apple, they have different tiers of phones to appeal to each different buyer, and they study those patterns, and they do that. And John, you've talked about it in retail, which I thought was really interesting because I never knew about it. But in retail, when people were coming in, how do you segment those people?
Even though you're talking about hotels, right? It doesn't really matter, because what's one thing that we have all in common? People. And that's it. And I've said this 1,000 times, whether you're in HVAC, whether you're in the pool industry, whether you're in the hotel industry or in the restaurant business, it doesn't matter really, because we all deal with people. And the first thing that we need to understand in order to do our jobs better, or in order to be successful in what we do, is understand people. And I think that's a part that a lot of us forget about. And we focus too much on the technicals and we forget about the end user or the person. And when everything you're saying just clicks and makes complete sense. With us, the way we used to do it is it was called customer centricity. And it was, look, the customer is the center of the focus. It is not the product you're selling or understanding whatever it may be, like the biggest and baddest TV or biggest and baddest computer or the best washer and dryer and the features and all that, or price points or which one you get your most bang for the buck for. That is not what's important. And usually in industries like retail or car selling, it's more focused on, hey, I want to sell this product because I make the most money off of it, or it might be the easiest one for me to install at the time, or my profit margins are much higher, or I have this one in stock and I don't have that one and they're going to have to, whatever. Yes, you can get some benefit from that. And yes, you can get some success, but you will not thrive and you are missing out on some gains or some success that you can't even imagine until you understand people. So customer centricity was just simply, hey, look, we're changing everything. We came from an environment where retail sales used to be commission-based and it was motivated via commission. And us as a company, what we had to do was find a way to motivate a 16-year-old kid who lived at home with their mom, getting paid at the time $7, $8 an hour or whatever it was, to sell like they're on commission, like their life depends on it, and as if they have skin in the game or they own a piece of the company. And everybody looked at us like we were nuts. You could only do it if you were on commission. And we said, no, it's a different way. Yeah.
Let me ask you something, because you guys came to the industry, but Circuit City was the one that used to really be the dominant one. And they were all commission-based. That changed at the end when they were in Best Buy. Yeah, but Best Buy comes in, it disrupts. And so you guys came with a whole new model of, we're not paying commission.
No, zero, never did. It's not no commission whatsoever. And then not only that, it's not like they were being paid great. And it was every computer sold equals a Snickers bar. It was more of a high five attaboy or an attagirl, but it was just finding a way to motivate these kids. What we figured out was, hey, look, take that pressure off of them as far as like the commission base and give them a base salary, which I think is important too, because any commission company or commission sales, you have a draw, you have to do X amount, you have to meet quotas and stuff like that, or whatever it may be. And it creates a car dealership environment type thing. When you're just going to buy a friggin' washer or going to go buy a computer or whatever, a DVD, and it turns into like, damn, I mean, even me, and I'm a salesman, right? And I love sales and I've been doing it my whole life. And when I walk to a car dealership, it's just, damn it, man. These guys, if they only had a clue on how to go about approaching you. So anyways, we flipped the script and we created something called customer centricity. And we did something, which was we segmented our customers and we had different names for them. And the names, like one of them was like a Barry, and he was like an affluent businessman who had disposable income and just pretty much wanted the best. And like you said, things that just worked and didn't want to be embarrassed and liked having the finer things in life. And didn't mind paying for it as long as he saw value in it, as long as it made sense to him. And then you had a Jill, was like the suburban soccer mom who didn't work, stayed at home, but took care of the household and worked that way and was in charge of trucking the kids back and forth and going to school events and soccer games and baseball games and iPads and tablets and whatever it may be. And just wanted to make life easier, and also had money, but wanted to make life easier, but was maybe a little bit more thrifty, but time was of the essence for her. We had another one, I think we called him Buzz. Buzz was the name of it. And he was the young, techie, savvy guy who knew everything. The one that was up to date with everything. When he came, he was the gamer. He came to get a computer. He knew all about the processors and video cards and Gigabytes and everything, all of it. And then we had another one, I think we called him Edgar, and he was like the more cheap one. Disregard Edgar. We didn't have an Edgar.
You didn't have an Edgar?
No, we didn't have an Edgar. And the way we figured out is when customers came in, we would always greet them, right? we would ask qualifying questions and figure out who they are, what they were, what they were looking for, and not necessarily remotely start talking about a product until we understood who they were as a person and an individual. Who are they buying for? What are they looking for? What do they expect out of it? Stuff like that. We called them qualifying questions.
And you would train the employees on this? Like, was this part of it?
Yeah. And we were the best in the company, my store. And I dug this because this is just what makes me tick, because it just feels good. Understanding and having that connection. And it really tears down those walls and that awkwardness that you have. And it really brings down the guard of the client when you don't start selling them stuff. And you're literally, it's like having a friendly conversation with somebody and trying to understand who they are. And we would do things like, and I'm just short stuff, and we can get into details later or into the part two. Maybe we'll go into more details, but it's more of qualifying questions. Okay, what are you looking to do with, I don't even get on the internet, I just want email, maybe play some solitaire or whatever. Okay, great. Is it for you? Is it for a kid? It's for me and it's all I want. I'm supposed to for work. Okay, whatever. As a sales associate, we always did the good, better, the best. And there's 1,000 different computers that somebody can pick up. And not only that, we can also customize and configure each and every one of them for them, right? Based on their needs and what they want. We would ask, how's your vision? Do you wear glasses? Are you nearsighted? These types of things we want to know. And then off that, I go, okay, great. So based off what you told me, Jill, I go, here, I got a couple computers that I want you to look at based off what you need. Let's walk away from these ones. And we walk away from the $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 ones, right? And automatically to them, they feel, oh, they feel a little better. And let's walk over to here. And then you go down to one of the basic ones that meet all their needs and explain it to them and go, here's a good one. I think this is the entry level, the beginning. But based on what you told me and what you're using it for, this will completely fulfill everything that you're going to need. And we have it at this. We have it at da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I also have this unit here. And the reason why I want to maybe explain that you might want to go with this one is because I know you say you like solitaire games. So that means you like to play games a little bit. You might find some more games on the computer down the road as you're playing that are a little bit more graphic intense and that need or require a better, more graphics RAM or more RAM on the computer or a better video card or however it may be, but not so much quite gamer type. This one right here will allow you, because the last thing I want you to do is play that and then go to get another game and then your computer's not capable of running it. And then you're disappointed that you paid for that much. So for an extra $100 or $200 more, we can step you up to this model and you don't have to worry about that. And then obviously offer them, because you never want to shop with wallets and say, hey, look, here's the best option for what you're looking for. It'll still do everything that you need, but it'll give you room for growth. So that if you're not looking to buy a computer maybe every year or every 6 months or whatever, this will be able to fulfill this. And yes, it's X amount of money or whatever, and then give them those options. And then go for like the monitor. Okay, you said your vision, right? Okay, we should go with this screen. Back then there was the cathode ray tubes, right? You know what I mean? We did have some LCD screens when they first came out, but what type of monitor and the resolution of it, and then offer it based off that as well. And then let them know. And then 9 out of 10 times, the customer, one, they're ready to make the purchase because they feel comfortable about the decisions because you explained it to them. You tied, you made them pick the computer because they gave you all their needs. And if this is what you want, this is what you have to get in order to get it. So here are your choices. 9 out of 10 times, they go for the good or the best. When they feel comfortable making that purchase, because they walk away knowing that it's everything that they need and you explained it all to them. Too many times people will walk out and go, okay, you need to buy this one, right? Because this is the most expensive one. And then you scare them. Maybe at a certain point, it might be the right computer for the right person, that buzz, that hyper techie guy that wants everything and thinks he knows everything. And that might be the right computer, but for the majority of the people, they're not. So what ends up happening is if you go try selling the wrong product to the wrong person, you're not going to close that deal very often. We'd rather sell $1,000 or $500 or $1,000 computer 100 times than a $5,000 computer 10 times, because your closing rate is so much lower. And that specific market group or that type of client, there's just not that many of them out there. So once they understood that, it just changed everything for us. And not only that, when it came down and all that breeded like just positive.
You have the tools. Yeah. You have the knowledge. You have the tools.
And then you got that whole sales thing. And then people just felt, I just have a conversation with somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you just got to have a conversation and tie it in. You don't need to get into the how many megahertz and then start talking. That doesn't mean anything to people. They don't give a shit. They want to know. And then if they ask, and this is why you're going to need it. And this is because of this or whatever. And you can apply towards anything.
And there's definitely, obviously for you guys, your company, in order for you to get to that stage, there's one thing that you have to do. And that's what we want to talk about. And it's that customer analysis. You have to analyze all of the customers. And gosh, the customer analysis could really go on forever, right? You talk about incomes, you can talk about all these different things. And we're going to get into those and start talking about those so that you can do the exact same thing. You can create a strategy so that when you know that you're going to talk to a customer, you can create those qualifying questions. You can figure out where you need to put that customer in those different categories so that it gives you a better tool to be able to do one of the things that John talks about, and then that's the close, right? Because at the end of the day, it's about closings. If you have that customer analysis, you understand those behaviors, the majority of the time, you're going to have the data, you're going to be well prepared in order to be able to get that sale, and more importantly, be able to close it. And it doesn't all tie into sales. A lot of it ties into some of the things that Zach talks about, which is customer satisfaction, right? Customer satisfaction is huge. And also employee satisfaction, right? So if the customers are happy, the employees are going to be happy. So there's really a lot of segmentation that needs to go into that. With that said, gentlemen, the pause, I think we're going to have to cut the podcast here, and then part two.
Look, we haven't even gotten into it, right?
If we start even talking about the first bullet point for the customer analysis, this is going to take us another 2 hours. So let's do this. Let's take our word from our sponsors. We've talked about what it is with the customer analysis. On part two, what we're going to do is we're just going to come straight back in, and we're going to start jumping directly into what those bullet points are so that you could use those. So let's take a word from our sponsors. When we come back, Zach, John, I want to get your final thoughts.
The Hyper Pole from Ultimate Pool Tools is a pool care pole designed by pool professionals for pool professionals, featuring precision crafted carbon fiber and stainless steel construction. Go to ultimatepooltools.com or Instagram at Ultimate Pool Tools. Pool pros have specific needs when it comes to general liability insurance. The SPPA program has you covered. With three tailored and customizable general liability options, SPPA makes it easy for pool pros to feel secure. Find out more and get covered at thesppa.com. Now available, Pool Invoice. Pool Invoice is a pool billing software created specifically for the pool service and repair industry. It's developed for our industry and only our industry. Pool Invoice is built with recurring billing in mind. You can print, email, text invoices, or even send via WhatsApp. You can add recurring or yearly charges, accept credits, and set up auto pay. You can even see when customers have seen the invoice. It even has a customer portal where they can log in and see, print, and pay invoices. It has all your customers' information on one page, so you don't need to search through hundreds of invoices looking for the one you need. Just go to the customer profile, and it's all at your fingertips. Created specifically for the pool industry, Pool Invoice. Now available at poolinvoice.com. Blu-ray XL is the power of minerals working for you. Reduce your overall chemical costs and labor up to 50% guaranteed. Whether you have 20 accounts or 20,000, Blu-ray XL's direct pricing and free shipping to the pool trade have you covered. Improving pool professionals' profit and work-life balance is what they do. Blu-ray XL, the real mineral purifier. Visit them at BluRayXL.com.
Blu-ray all day.
Aquastar's new pipeline cartridge filters, available in two sizes, deliver top-notch hydraulic efficiency along with best-in-class filtration performance, approaching that of DE filters. Uniquely designed, open pleat spacing means 100% of the media square footage is usable. And these claims are backed by NSF test results. designed with the pros' time and comfort in mind. The patented double-locking system improves safety and ease of access, making filter cleaners faster than ever before. Available now. Ask your supplier for pipeline filters today.
Natural Chemistry, a leader in specialty water care solutions for over 30 years, is proud to provide products that make pool service easier than ever before. Its unique enzyme formulations in Pro Series Pro Blend improve efficiency of your pool program while reducing frequency of filter cleaning and scum lines. Natural Chemistry is also well known for its wide variety of phosphate removal solutions that include a non-clouding formula in phosphate and extremely high-range removal with Pro Series Foss Remove or Foss Free Max. Save time, save money, save work with Pro Series products. Stop sacrificing durability or efficiency with the help of Raypak's new Avia HD models that utilize Nitec, their exclusive industry-first technology. Nitec heat exchanger technology is Raypak's latest solution to superior strength and maximum efficiency when it comes to residential pool heating. With 900% more nickel compared to Cooper nickel in critical surfaces, Nitec creates an ideal surface to protect against scale formation and erosion without compromising on Avia's 84% thermal efficiency. Learn more at raypak.com/Nitec.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pool Nation Live Podcast. And this is what I love about our followers is, and our family of pool pros, is Pool Envy sent me a message on the chat and said, Edgar, what you should put on that banner that's running at the bottom is the events that are coming up.
That's brilliant.
And I'm like, that's brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. So as we were on break, I was sitting in here typing the notes to be able to jump there. Zach, you've been really quiet today. I think John and I hogged all of the time. John?
We did. It's funny you said that. As soon as I walked over there, Mama's like, are you going to let Zach talk?
I'm going to get a text from Leslie. What's going on, guys? You're not letting Zach talk. So Zach, I'll tell you what, I'll let you start. Let me get your final thoughts.
The reason I wasn't talking is because I was really entranced with what you were saying. And to hear it from like more of a corporate side where it is really like this laid out, like intentional plan of figuring these things out and categorizing these people, it's really interesting. And I know a lot of us probably do it without even thinking about it in a lot of different ways. But I think this is something that a lot of us may overlook or not even really considered looking at. And I think it's an important factor if the plan is to grow a profitable, thriving company. These are the things, like, this is something we need to take a look at and put a plan together around it. And we talk about on the podcast, like time and time again, about having roadmaps, about having vision, about having goals and targets and all of those things. And I think having a solid understanding of your customer that you're trying to reach and you're trying to serve is a super foundational piece to all of that, because this is going to help determine and dictate the type of service that you're going to provide and the way you're going to provide it and the products you're going to offer and the type of company that you're going to build. And additionally, we talk about efficiency. And that was another question that we didn't get to today. And it was talking about being more efficient and knowing your customer and doing this analysis and having a plan based around that. That's going to help you be a lot more efficient. And what I mean by this is, think about, we get stuck in this rut of we need more jobs. We want to attract more people. And we just start throwing money at marketing and advertising and things like that. But there's no real solid messaging. And there's so much different messaging you can send out there. But who are we trying to target? And why are we trying to target them? And so knowing this stuff helps you be more efficient in how you spend your money and how you spend your time and where you put in all of your effort. This is super good stuff. And I could listen to John and you talk about it all day in the hotels and in the retail environment. And I'm excited to talk next time and bring it all together in our environment, in the pool industry and in the pool service business. Good stuff. And I'm looking forward to getting more into it.
Mr. JJ, final thoughts. Say, did you like that pause there?
Yeah,
I was waiting to see if you were going to jump in by any chance, but no, it's not going to happen.
I have to wait for you to introduce me or to let me know it's time for me to talk. It's part of me growing as a human being to learn when to talk and when not to talk. So,
ladies and gentlemen, final thoughts, JJ Flawless.
exactly what Zach said. I'm very passionate about this, and I think it really is what you need to be able to master or understand in order to become very successful in anything that you do. And you can apply this. It doesn't matter if it's housekeeping, doesn't matter if it's the pool industry, I've said this, doesn't matter if it's HVAC. This is people, and people we deal with throughout our lives. And this will, understanding this will better you, not only in your business life, but also in your personal life. It'll help you understand your friends better, who your friends are, who your friends aren't, your children, school teachers, the barista that you're ordering your coffee from, the cashier at the fast food joint that you got your food at, the waiter or waitress at Perry's. All this matters. And this is the type of stuff that makes me tick and gets my mind going all the time. I'm fascinated about the human psyche. And I cannot wait for us to get a little bit deeper into this on the next podcast. And hopefully you guys will get to see the bigger picture and how you can apply it to literally everything that you do in the pool industry when it comes down to customer interactions or where you focus, like Zach was saying, where you focus your attention to. And it's simple. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it any further, but next week when we talk about it, I'll dive a little deeper, and then hopefully we can keep the podcast to 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give everybody a teaser, obviously, we'll talk a little bit about segmenting your customers and obviously how to use all that. But somebody sent me a message right away. They're asking about segmenting the customers and what's that like, just as a teaser.
What we should do is we should probably create our own names.
We could create our own names. That's not a bad idea.
For right. The pool industry. And then maybe let's create who they are and what type of client they are and maybe how we would approach them, because we can talk about it in different environments and then you can put it together. But if we specifically create it for the pool environment or for the pool industry, then we can give our listeners, our people, some tools so they know when, how to find out who's who and what questions maybe they need to ask, qualifying questions or lifestyle questions to find out who they are, and then maybe how to approach it and talk about maybe here's a pump and what type of pumps we're going to talk about and what type of systems and stuff like that or types of pools. Just a thought. That'd be interesting.
Absolutely. Obviously, those do exist in the industry and we can break those down and talk about them. As a teaser, you start talking about it and you get into a homeowner that's brand new that has never owned a pool. That's somebody that falls in. Then you get into the other one is you get the homeowner that's very hands-on. You find yourself with an engineer. What do the engineers do when you're talking to those type of customers, right? They go all in. So they do exist within the industry and within your business. What I want to make sure is that as you guys start to get this information, that you look at it from your customers. And then what we'll try to do is help you figure out how to put that into your business strategy so that it achieves those goals. And I've talked about it before. When I bought my first 50 pools, they were all in an area where it wasn't an affluent neighborhood. And at some point I realized, hey, what income level am I looking for if I'm going to be able to get people to pay more money? And then I figured that out. And then at the end, when I sold all my pools, I did not have any of the pools I had originally bought because I was going into those affluent neighborhoods because I wanted that rate to be a little bit higher. So there's some that are very easy to find out. And then there's other ones that you have to dive deep into and categorizing those people. So we'll get into that on the next podcast. This is the stuff that I geek out. And by the way, because again, John, you have it as well. Our backgrounds, right? In hotels, it was all about the customer experience and studying the customers. And then at the end of the day was really the numbers, right? The crunching every number associated with each one of those segments. And I think as a business, if you do that, you don't have to go that deep, but you'll be a lot better than what you are today.
We'll name them Edgar, Zach, and John, right? It'll be that.
Oh, I love it.
It'll be the Zach who's the engineer and the over analytical.
Oh, don't call me
that. Right? And no. Kai's over.
What's Edgar? What's Edgar?
Edgar is like the customer who's the buzz, who knows all the technology, knows everything, but is cheap and wants to have the Black and Decker pump. And
okay. Wow.
He buys his filters off of Amazon and says, hey, and then I'll do them myself, right?
So who's John?
Me, I'm the guy who says, don't rip me off. I just want the best.
I can get it cheaper. How much will you charge to install it?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a coupon code? do price match?
Yeah, John comes out with the price match. After you give him the quote, he'll be like, hey, I was able to find that online for...
I'm the drone. We call what my boys on the phone, right? We call drone customers, right? Oh, I have a drone, which, do you guys know what that means? It's our own little thing. You ever have a customer that hovers, right? And you're out and you're repairing and you're doing something and you got that customer that's out there watching you and looking at you, right? I got a drone. So you got somebody watching you and doing what you're doing. You're sweating your ass off.
I could see you being the drone.
I can be the drone. And not because I'm questioning. It's just because I just like to learn. When the HVAC guys come, when anybody comes, a plumber or anything like that, I am learning, right? I'm not questioning. I'm just watching and learning so that I understand it. And yeah, I guess I'm who I hate, the drone.
So for me, normally when anybody comes to the house, I go out and I meet them and I start chit-chatting with them. And then 90% of the job, we're just shooting the shit, yeah, just talking and doing about all this kind of stuff and all that.
So you're the customer that comes out after we get done cleaning the pool on the way out and then holds us up for another 20 minutes of talking before we can get to our next stop.
Normally, I talk to them through the whole thing.
Wow. Even worse.
That drives me crazy.
I'm the guy that comes out and talks the whole time that I'm cleaning the pool, and then they're trying to leave, and then they're like, okay, have a great day, and I'm still, the guy that I hate the most.
I love having a conversation with customers. It doesn't bother me, right? Because I'm out there, I'm not doing it. But come out when you see me, I'm there. Have a convo, but don't come out after I've been there for 20 minutes, 25. I'm wrapping
you're trying
up,
to leave.
I'm walking out, and then you come out. Oh,
no.
What do you got to do? You got to sit there and have the conversation with them and that kind of stuff. You're going, da-da-da, and fine, you're out. But that's interesting. I think that's who you are. That's who you are, Edgar.
I think I'm in the...
You are in that category.
My problem is... I talk to them the whole time, not just when they go to leave. So I don't even let them do their work in peace.
Good idea, Michael. The Edgar, yeah. Zach, and John segment, dude, I'm telling you, that's going to be funny. That'll be good and it'll be worth it. And I think we could add a couple more to it.
I leave depressed the podcast.
Terry will be the engineer. Someone like Terry, right? Or we'll call him a Terry from Hasa. He'll be the engineering customer. The very...
Jason,
you're right. Don't imagine working on, dude, because the guy's, he's literally, yeah, he knows everything.
And
imagine being the poor sucker going over there working on something, right, with Jason at Jason's house. Oh my God, dude.
Jason, we love you, brother, but you are the engineer. That's it. That's
you
it.
Are Jason's definitely the engineer.
Anyways. All right, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. I know it's crazy out there and we got to get crazy. We got to get ready for Tuesday. I head down to Houston on Tuesday. Super excited about that. We're going to shoot some stuff with Terry on Wednesday. We're going to start setting up on Wednesday. Everybody starts watching our social media because we are going to start to do that. So let's see here. Will there be a podcast next Friday? So there will not be a podcast on Friday because we'll be doing the training down in Houston. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to record that podcast on Sunday. Maybe we just do it live, guys. We just throw it out there anyways.
Why not? I don't care.
Why not? So we'll do that. So our podcast that we put out that following Monday, Michael, will be recorded this Sunday. So we do the email. Let me know if you're on the email list. I send an email out. If not, Michael, shoot me a text and I'll add you to that list. That way you get a message when we're on and we will go from there. Zach, I will see you next week. Super excited about that.
You're not going to see me?
No, I was waiting for Zach's response and he just went, I'm excited
to see you at this point after the last 3 weeks.
Damn.
No, I'm very excited. We're gonna have a great time.
Zach feels like he got corporate coming down to do an audit or something like that. He's gonna be here a day early to check on everything for.
Yeah.
John, he's the one that asked for this. This wasn't me.
I know.
He asked for it. He said, Edgar, we have the space. I'd like to do a boot camp. And I said, if you want to do it, I'll help you. And he's, let's do it. Go in. I'm all in. And I'm like, are you sure? Because once we go all in, we're going all in. And he's, let's do it. And so I said, okay, let's do it. And so I just want you to know that this was not my idea.
I'm excited. And now we have to do it again and again. And we got to make a lot of stuff happen here because we are, the building's almost bulletproof for events now. So
is it bulletproof for me, though, is the question. So have you prepared your team? Are you going to do a team meeting and a huddle up before I come into town? And did you like come up with the disclaimer form or something like that and say we are in no way
associated with
JJ Flawless and anything he says or does in here cannot be used against us? You know what I mean? He does. If you are easily offended, you will be given a personal day. You are not allowed. But now Zach is, I didn't even think about that. Now poor Zach is, oh my God, dude, he's out of my shit.
Let me go get the release of liabilities drafted.
Exactly. Oh my God. I'll be good. I promise. I'll be on my best behavior. Yes, exactly.
John's posters are on the wall. I'll tell you what, I will put a poster of John up on the wall. I do have one.
A disclaimer.
I do have one that we can put up there. No, not a disclaimer.
It's a little weird.
He has a poster of me.
I got a picture of him like this, a poster in a circle that says Pool Nation Podcast on it, and it's his favorite picture.
Oh, so the one I hate.
The one you hate. So we'll put that one up on the building out there.
He'll come tearing it down.
Boys, I do have to tell you that what I am really looking forward to is two things. One is I'm looking forward to hanging out with everybody, with our family out there, hanging out with everybody on Thursday. We're going to go to Rudy's. We're going to do a little get together there so everybody could just meet us there. But number two, boys, I'm excited to hang out with you guys. You know how it is every time that we get together. It's awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. So anyways, everybody have a great weekend. We will catch you all next Wednesday on the Instagram Live with me and John. I will be down in Houston. Actually, you're coming in too. So we'll figure that out for Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work.
I don't know if it's going to work, but we're going to do a live at least to be able to show everybody what everything is looking like. Yeah, what everybody's looking. So anyway, all right, gentlemen, have a great weekend. We'll talk at you guys later. Bye, guys.
All right, later.
Bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Pool Nation Podcast, a member of the Pool Nation family. You can listen to us live every Friday here at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can find us at Pool Nation or PoolNationPodcast.com, on Facebook, or on Instagram at Pool.Nation. And to find more info about Pool Invoice, the billing software built specifically for the pool industry, go to PoolInvoice.com. Before you go, this is what the pool industry has been waiting for. PoolManUniversity.com. It's the first platform dedicated to learning the swimming pool service and repair industry. A pool service community where you can connect and find videos on business, service, water chemistry, and repairs. See you there at PoolManUniversity.com.